today, anybody is a media company. You know, we knew what a media company was 10 years ago, but now that definition has changed. You know, we've seen Google and Yahoo become media companies, and now we're at the point where we see people become media companies. And so we need to think about how we deal with that.
This is Podtech.net. I'm Jason Lopez. Video represents the next phase of internet-delivered content. Some, like video bloggers, will certainly post huge amounts of stuff to watch on the web and across corporate networks. TV and movies appear to be coming piecemeal as digital rights management platforms throw a wrench into the consumer desire to watch what they want, when they want, where they want, and how they want. Brian Haven, senior analyst at Forrester Research, is following all of this very closely. I recently spoke with him at the Forrester Research Consumer Forum in Chicago.
One of the key things you really need to think about is video in different channels takes a different form. We're used to what happens on TV. We know it's longer form content, much higher quality. But once we move into these other channels like the desktop, the mobile device, even the mobile phone, the content form has to change. We've seen a lot of activity over the past 3 or 4 months, maybe a little bit more so than that, from the big media companies moving their content, repurposing it from the offline channel, if we consider TV offline, to the online channel. But that's a pretty logical first step for a media company to want to move that content. But I think what's really going to be successful and what any content provider needs to think of, and a content provider may be a traditional media company, it may be a marketer who needs to think like a media company, and that content needs to change, and it needs to be shorter form, and it needs to be more highly engaging to the actual viewer. That's a pretty big shift in terms of just moving content from one channel to the other. You need to take advantage of the channel. What advantages and capabilities does it provide?
One of the things we're also seeing is, especially in video, is this attempt by many companies to corner markets. Is this going to be a problem in terms of a smooth transition to actually getting the stuff that consumers want right now?
Well, I think just like the theme of this conference here today, you know, humanizing the digital experience, the more you lock that down, and we've seen this over and over again, the more you lock it down, the less humanizing that experience actually is. We're in a world where it's much more open. You look at all the social computing technologies like blogging and social networks. People are interacting with each other more freely. They're in more control than even the institutions now. So it really, the openness is going to be the key to making this successful. If it gets locked down, it's going to be more difficult for people to access. It's going to be more complicated, and it's not going to enable that new technology to grow and flourish.
Video is sort of like a river in the middle of cattle country, and there's going to be a huge fight over who gets the piece of this incredible demand for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a potentially big pie, right? And so there's going to be a lot of players, you know, and you've got, on the technology side, you've got the bandwidth providers, companies like Akamai and Limelight, who provide the ability to move a bit from point A to point B, you know, through various methods and technologies. Then you got kind of the next layer where you have some of the middlemen that are stepping in and really being agnostic to the content delivery network and really providing the service of converting the video from its original source format into whatever form it needs to be. So you have companies like Brightcove and Maven. They're kind of creating that extra layer, helping create the experience, enable the video in the different channels, and then letting the content delivery networks take care of the actual delivery. You even have companies like The Platform, who can take a source piece of content from a media institution in high quality and replicate that out to mobile phones, to desktop computers, to mobile devices, and they're kind of providing that middle area to deliver content in all the different channels.
Well, when you have a company like Netflix saying, we're not going to get involved in this, and you think, wait a minute, that's the next logical step, it sort of throws a wrench in the idea of wondering what the next logical steps even are in terms of getting content online or getting content through all these different delivery systems. If you could outline just roughly what you think the next logical steps are going to be, what consumers could expect to realistically get over IP networks, over their handsets, whatever it might be.
I think we're going to see, I do think that at some point Netflix will offer digital versions of the movies and digital access. One of the key areas is really, I think, for the professional created content, is that link to the television. And we're just barely starting to see companies come in and try to make that connection to digitally deliver the content, but get it onto the big screen where the high quality matters, where when you're watching long-form content, the comfort of your couch is a much better experience than sitting at your desk or walking around I'm looking at in an iPod or any other video-enabled mobile device. So I think seeing the professional content find a bridge to the television is kind of one of the next areas that we'll see. On the flip side, we'll probably see more more companies leveraging consumers to create content on their behalf for these other channels, the desktop, the mobile device, shorter form content, and even some of the traditional content providers actually taking steps to create new content specifically for those channels. So I think you're going to see the activity of viewing video on a computer or in a mobile portable situation is a different activity than viewing it on the television. And I think the content forms, while there will be some crossover, will kind of shake out into those two different camps.
In this ecosystem of video from the content providers all the way to the person sitting on the couch watching the video, whatever it might be, where's the weak link?
Well, I mean, like I said before, one of the key links is to the television. There aren't a lot of devices right now that really do that well. So, you know, we're certainly going to need to see some development there. Video search is another big problem. Right now, it's terrible. And it's not because the companies that provide that capability aren't trying. It's a much more difficult problem than just searching text. And really what it boils down to with video is because it's so entertainment-based, it's such a visual medium, you really kind of have three key areas that you need to consider. One is locating the content. So the content providers, the professional companies, can embed metadata into a file to make it searchable. They might also place the video on a web page that has a lot of content describing the actual video clip, maybe even including a transcript to make that searchable. And that's one area where the search engines need to start to dig into that data. Now, this is professionally created content. These are the people that are willing to create the metadata and create the structure around a particular file. But then the next step is actually the context. So if I find the file that I'm looking for, assuming I know what I'm looking for, then it may be 30 minutes long. How do I find the spot within that video? Maybe it's 12 minutes into the video is the spot that I'm looking for. And there are a couple firms out there like Podzinger and Nexidia that actually provide some of that technology to search the audio content. So we've got the location, the metadata to find the file. We've got the context to actually find the position within the file. But then there's this element of discovery. You may go online tomorrow, read somebody's blog who you respect, and they say, hey, you got to see this video. You didn't know you were looking for video until that came. That's about discovery, finding new content that you didn't even know you were looking for. That's really about the social element of learning about content, and that's kind of going to be one of the more challenging areas that search needs to step in and take control of and help people find content through that method as well.
Do you think video search has the possibility of anointing the next sort of Google because of search's ubiquity and the kind of service that it gives people?
I think it can play a really important role going forward because we're continuously living in a fragmented world. We've seen it with traditional media and we're seeing it with online media. There's so much content out there for people to consume. And believe me, there's going to be a lot more online video before there's a lot less online video. So enable to navigate that space, it's difficult. Granted, the brands want to have control. They want you to come to their sites, you know, to actually access that content. But in reality, there's so much content that we have to consume that people are going to want to go to a central place to either manage it, to view it, to find it, and I think that's where search is going to step in. And really, the challenge for those branded companies that want to control that experience, they're going to have to provide a lot of extra benefits to entice somebody to want to go there to view the content, rather than just because it's there, people will come. People are going to go elsewhere, and I think search is going to potentially play a big role in that.
Brian, are you getting less confused as the days go by or more confused?
I think I'm getting more confused. There's, my phone constantly rings with new vendors, you know, providing new technologies. You know, there's always new questions. You know, one, we started with how do we get the video out there, and now we're figuring out how do we make money from it. You know, and a lot of those questions are still being, you know, answered right now. So it's, you know, it in some cases it takes shape, in other cases it becomes more deformed as you try to navigate all the new complexity.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.